Today on Real Life Radio.
I think the number one reason why we've got the issues that we do in the church and in our families is because men have abandoned their God-ordained biblical authority. God has given the man, the husband. You say, I'm not a Christian. Guess what? Marriage, God invented it. And even if you're not a Christian, God honors the place of a husband. Did you know that?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1. The Apostle Peter, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, his message of encouragement is how we can live holy lives and have godly influence while submitting to human authority. You see, God is the one who designed marriage to be a holy union, a man and a woman who come together in life, and the powerful influence the wife has in the marital relationship. You see, in Peter's time, a wife was considered a servant. But her conduct and submission to her husband shows the loving example of Jesus Christ and his relationship towards the church. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that God created marriage to work in such a way that honors him. Lasting togetherness is possible when a husband and wife submit to one another as they both submit to God and his authority over them. Now, with his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Not here, but somewhere else, there are men who just don't pray for their families. They don't have a spiritual presence. They might even go to church, but they don't have a spiritual presence in their home. They're non-existent there. You know what happens? If there's a hole, it gets filled. And mom or wife will fill the hole. Some men will say, well, that's cool, whatever. That's tragic. You're out of order. Sir, you're out of order, gentlemen. God says, I want you to show her what I'm like. God is saying, I want you, sir, to show her what sacrifice is. I want you, sir, to show her what love is. God has set this as an order in government, in the home. The power of that, God will honor. But a woman will fill the void when it's not there, and I'll prove it. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Genesis 3 verse 1. Follow that with me. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, I told you before, that freaks me out. So whatever is going on, the serpent can talk and Adam and Eve thinks it's cool. Did all the animals talk? I don't know. But snakes talked. I don't like that. And he said to the woman, who's he speaking to? Eve, yeah. Has God indeed said, casting doubt on the Bible, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the tree or the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. So now he's accusing God of keeping her eyes closed, that you see, Eve, God's not been exactly fair to you. He's been withholding things from you, Eve. Do you guys hear this? Is this not how our culture works? Mm-hmm. Well, if you really knew what was really going on. You know that innuendo? You can almost you know, it's creepy, right? That you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and saw that the tree was and desirable to make one wise. Interesting. You know what's implied here? To make one wiser. Are you hearing me? Psst. Hey, girl, you want to really be able to see?
Yeah.
Do you want to really want to know everything?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to be the wisest, the sharpest? You want to be on top? Yes. That's what he told her. Good, Eve. She took of its fruit and ate. Okay, from the sidelines, can't you hear us? Adam, step up. Adam, where are you? Where's Adam? He's not there. Look at your Bible carefully. It says, she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Okay, listen, scholars will talk forever about this. Watch. Either some scholars will say, Adam was right there. I have a hard time believing that. So Adam's watching this. Okay, listen, this is crazy. How could, would a man even do such a thing? So there's Eve, there's Adam. They're there doing whatever they're doing. And this, so what's up? And this thing starts talking to Eve. Psst. Are you kidding me? So Adam's like, or maybe he was like this, texting on a stone or something. Seriously, what in the world's going on here? Adam, where are you? Some scholars will say Adam was there. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. She was somehow alone. Adam was somewhere over there gardening, doing something, planting flowers. I don't know what he was doing. He wasn't there. There's some sort of a gap. He shows up and she offers it to him. Isn't that how life is? Life's like that. By the way, when you do something, listen, remember when you were young, you're invited to the first party, maybe, I don't know, a junior high, high school, whatever. You go to your first party and you know you're not supposed to drink. But you get there and everybody's drinking. Have you noticed what happens? You can be fine. I remember this like it was yesterday. I went to my first party. I was just a kid. And I knew, I was not a Christian, but I knew when I showed up, there were a bunch of drunk idiots vomiting. And I'm thinking, this is fun, huh? So there's something wrong with this. And I was with a friend of mine. We were both on the team together. So we went to this thing. And these people are drunk. And I remember this. Hey, come on. No, it's okay. No, come on. Have a beer. No, it's okay. Come on. Have a beer. It's like, what's the deal? Do you know what I'm talking about? What's the deal? What's it so big to you that I have this? So listen, you know what we did? Glenn and I, we went and got two beer cans. We poured out what beer was left in them. We put water in the cans and then walked around like this. Hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Isn't this great? We faked it. We knew something was wrong. But I found out something in that very, very first encounter about a party is that those that are sinning are not happy unless you're sinning with them. They won't back off. That's why when you stand for righteousness in any community, you'll get attacked. Things will get thrown at you. People will put you down. Oh, look, you got a little Christian t-shirt. What's your problem? It's a free country. I'm a Christian. I'm going to wear my t-shirt. No, you know what? We stand there maybe. What? Don't wear that t-shirt again. Okay. What's wrong with us? Satan deceived Eve. And what does the Bible say about that? It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the pathology of it, that's for all of us. Do not love the world or the things that are of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are the three categories of sin that Eve fell for, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It's amazing. Satan lied and Eve died. She died spiritually in that moment.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Just for note-taking, we'll visit these other verses soon. It says, wives, likewise, submit to your own husbands. Your own husbands. I told you God has a government. In your note-taking, you might find this interesting. Regarding relationship and marriage, it's the word cosmology, the cosmos. You know the cosmos, the universe? Do you know the word cosmos? By the way, cosmos is the opposite of chaos. Those are two Greek words that are completely antithesis to each other. So listen, regarding relationship, cosmos, opposite of cosmos is chaos. God is a God of order. So listen, when it says for us to submit, I say us, watch. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Why? For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Translation, wives, be submissive to your husband. Why? Because he is the savior of your life, of your home, not salvation savior. He's your defender. He's your protector. He's your head. It works this way. Not arrogantly, not authoritatively, lovingly. We've all experienced this. Have you been pulled over by a police officer? Yeah, three of us have. Does he or she have the authority to do whatever they want within the law? Yep. If that police officer says, you know, next time, watch it. By the way, nice car, and compliments you somehow, whatever. And the officer goes and gets back in the car, and you think for a moment, that was a close call. What a nice guy. What a nice officer she was. That person had the authority, but they didn't lord it over you, did they? According to God, the husband is the head. He's the one that God will deal with regarding the family unit. But he's not to turn and say, woman, listen, ladies, anytime a man says, submit, okay, you have a big problem on your hands. There's a lot of stuff you got to unpack in that house. Okay, you need to come into the office. We need to start working through this. Because that thing's loaded, that environment would be. So how can you say that? Well, it's simple. Watch this. Colossians 3, verse 18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. That was first century revelation. Peter, Paul, this is amazing. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Listen how a wife is to be loved. But that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. So he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Look at the example. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. So make sure that happens, ladies, that your husband has cut the cord and the apron strings of mom and dad. You're not marrying mom and dad, you're marrying him. And the two shall become, what? One flesh, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Christ and the church. Remarkable. Marriage is the only thing on earth that is the example, the illustration of Jesus in the church. Ephesians 5, verse 21. I love this one. By the way, you're gonna wanna write this down, especially ladies. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That verse precedes verse 22 when it says, wives, submit to your husbands. The whole family is to submit to God. You see that? God is number one. The man answers for the family. And the woman answers to the man, but not like you think or you feel. Kind of goes like this. We'll have to wrap this up soon. Kind of goes like this. So I think this is what the Bible teaches. And this is how I seek to live my life. Ultimately, you have to ask Lisa. She would know. And it would be this. So I'm making this up now. So the topic is vacation. And I might say, you know what? I really just really think I've been praying about vacation and where we would get the best for the dollar and the best relaxation for the time. And I think it should be the Rocky Mountains. And she says, I've been praying too. And I think it should be the Mojave Desert. those are two extremes. And so, well, you know what? Let's just keep praying about it. Let's keep talking about it. And let's just work it out. And as time goes by, it comes down to this. You know what? There's great arguments on both sides of the fence. We can, you know, freeze in the mountains and we can burn to death in the desert. So, tell you what, I think that we should go. Next time we'll go to the desert. This time we're going to go. And the wife goes like this. You know what? I vote desert, but you vote mountains. Fine with me. It's no hill to die on. I'm with you. Let's start packing. And now, women, when you do that, you release your husband in answering to God. Sarah was a good example of this. Sometimes she wasn't. Sometimes she was. Sarah and Abraham. But ladies, the temptation is, first of all, there's a great liberty and power for you to do that. Okay, sweetheart, let's do that. If you get a flat tire half mile down the road on your trip, you ladies, it's a tough one. It's like, mm-hmm. All along the way, the temptation is, told you, right? In doing this, you're honoring the Lord by honoring God's order. There's equal times when I think we should go to the mountains and she thinks we should go to the desert. And I say, you know what? You've got your argument's better. I'd love to go to the mountains, but you're right. Let's go to the desert. That's our marriage. That's Lisa and I. That's how we live. It's not like, oh no, I'm going to die on that hill. We're going down over this one. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. God wants a cosmology. By the way, the order, cosmos, the science, the study of order. You know cosmetology? We'll get to that next week. Makeup, all that stuff, cosmetology. Do you know what it is? Cosmo, it means setting an order. Did you know that? To put makeup on. The word means to set an order. It means to take chaos and set it in order. God bless you. It's been nice. No, I'm kidding. I should stop. I should stop now. Let's stop. There'll be a car waiting for me to be taken away. But let's do stand right now, because you know, we've talked about some serious things, but if you're living in a home where there's a non-believer, you know what's worse than that is living in a home with a man who says he's a believer. And he's not in lifestyle. He's a false believer. He's fake. Churches are full of guys like that. Let's pray right now that God would move in this church, right? Father, we come to you today, and Lord, I pray that we would all have a stomach and patience and time these next several weeks as we invest in what marriage is, what it ought to look like, why it is what it is, why you have defined it as such, why there's a cosmology to it. And Father, we pray right now for those marriages here that are great. They're just awesome. Wonderful marriages. I pray that you'd keep them wonderful. Father, for those marriages that are struggling, we pray that this series pointing to the Word of God would be used by you to remedy and heal what might be, like Solomon said, just little foxes that spoil the grapes. They're not big monumental things. They're just little things that keep tripping up this marriage. We pray that you'd heal that. We pray for those who have a marriage with a non-believer. God, that please, Lord, all of us collectively agreeing right now, Lord, is it too bold of us to say, if it be your will, that during this series, that they might even get saved, that they might turn from their sins and put their trust in the one true God who loved us to death, the death of the cross, and rose from the dead that we might have eternal life in him. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Hey, Pastor Jack, there's a pretty cool book that you've actually read.
Yeah.
I've peeked at it. It's One Day Nearer by Steve Miller.
Yeah.
You Steve's, like it?
Listen, I love it. I'm encouraging everybody to get their hands on this. That's why it's being featured with us right now, Davey. One Day Nearer. It's a daily devotion. Here's what's cool about it. Anticipating the Lord's return. It's 365 days of scripture verses that walk you through how the believer should be living with the expectation. You know, throughout the theology of the scriptures, the believer is to be waiting constantly. The Bible makes it clear. Jesus even makes a strong argument how in the parable of the 10 virgins, they were to endure waiting for his imminent return. They didn't know when he was coming, but they were to be prepared for his coming. Mm-hmm. And this is actually a great book because it keeps you every day in the mindset that today could be the day, or this year could be the year. And somebody might say, well, nobody knows the day or the hour. Of course, that's true. Nobody knows the day or the hour. The point is this, friend, every day that you get up, you are one day nearer.
Yeah, true.
To the return of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you say, well, are you saying that he's going to come back in my lifetime? No, but I am saying, he could, but I am saying that you will see him at the end of your lifetime.
Yeah.
Look, you could believe that Jesus isn't coming back for 10 years, but that doesn't mean you're not going to see him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you could drop dead.
Yeah.
So
people, a lot of folks have a tough time finding a time to integrate, you know, a daily devotional into their life.
Wow.
You have any hints?
Boy, Todd, should I be nice? Should I be blunt?
I say go for it.
So here's the pastor in me.
Okay.
Make time. Stop being lazy. Frankly, Christians need to grow up, get up, and we need to stop goofing off. We have no problem staying up all night to watch, the New Year's Eve bald fall in New York, or to stay out late for that movie debut. Or your friend's birthday party. We need to just frankly buckle up and grow up, meaning this should be something where, and I'm not kidding when I tell you, this should be something, for example, that you will resolve to not eat breakfast until you've read the reading of today.
Yeah.
And look, Davey, I'm opening the book to the reading of any particular day. We're looking at 2.5 paragraphs.
Yeah. Reasonable.
Every one of us should say, I'm not going to eat dinner or breakfast until I read the devotion for today.
Yeah.
I'm serious. We make priority of such lame things. For example, let's be honest, I don't know about you guys, but I can do life with or without coffee, but I like doing life with coffee.
Right.
But in the morning, for me, I have my little thing. My thing is I have a chair, I have a spot, I have a view. I have my devotion, I have my coffee.
Nice.
Make that date. And this is a great book. Steve Miller is a friend. He is a great author, and he has put out a great book. Please get your hands on it, everybody. You will not be disappointed, I promise. Make sure you make it part of your 365-day experience with One Day Nearer with author Steve Miller.
One Day Nearer by Steve Miller. Available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.